Before I open us up in prayer, I'd like to read an excerpt on intercessory prayer. And it's kind of appropriate because we've just been praying for each other. When I say our prayers of intercession are an extension of his work of intercession, the difference is in distributing versus producing. We don't have to produce anything. Reconciliation, deliverance, victory, etc. But rather we distribute, as the disciples did, with loaves of bread and fishes. Our calling and function is not to replace God, but to release him. It liberates us from intimidation and emboldens us to know that the producer simply wants to distribute through us. The intercessor wants to intercede through us. The mediator wants to mediate through us. The representative wants to represent through us. The go-between wants to go between through us. The victor wants his victory enforced through us. God continues to incarnate his redemptive purposes through human lives. We don't deliver anyone. We don't reconcile God to anyone. We don't defeat the enemy. The work has already been done. And yet, we must ask for the release and application of these things. John 20:21 says, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." In the same way, Jesus came to represent the Father, speaking his words and doing his works. We are to represent Jesus. Tim is going to read one of Paul's prayers for a church that may have been similar to this one. Ephesians 1:15-23.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in the present, but in the one to come. And God placed everything under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Let's pray. Lord, I pray for our hearts to be enlightened in order that we may know the great hope that you desire to give us. I pray that this hope will fill and sustain us. Give us glimpses of who you are, Jesus, and what you are up to all around us. We invite your spirit to be released into our lives so that we can better grasp your incomparably great power on earth and can enjoy freedom in teaming up with you. Please grant us courage to be your love in this world. May our lives be extensions of your love in tangible ways so that others may know what real, raw love is. Amen. 1 John 4:18-16 says, "My beloved friends, let us continue to love one another, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we are living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free from worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is not one yet fully formed in love. A few weeks ago, one of the most loving, fun, and hilarious people I know died of brain cancer. She had just turned 24 years old. In 2007 to 2009, we had attended an all-women's university together in the States, and just the memory of her life has altered my outlook on the present. She died at 24. I guess we never know what could be around the corner. Her death has inspired me to wrestle with how to live life to the fullest. My first memory of Amy was on a beautiful day, full of Midwest sunshine and trees bursting with life and color. As we walked out of our hall on our regular walk to the cafeteria for supper, we were forced to walk through a crowd of Mennonite protesters who had come to our school to protest the lesbian population, with signs that damned the LGBTQ community to a fiery eternal hell. They handed us pamphlets explaining the details as we walked to the cafeteria. The energy inside the cafeteria that night was edgy, and that's when it happened. Amy came out of the closet in grace and humility, and she professed to have a faith in a loving creator in Jesus. She told us that she had always believed that she had been born in the wrong body. She felt trapped in the female body, when she was certain she should have been born a male. She felt confused and troubled that God had allowed this mistake to happen. The identity crisis and fear of rejection from family and friends was excruciating. Over the years that followed, I journeyed with Amy as Amy became Ryan. It was an incredibly humbling time in my life to be present with someone on this particular journey. It's funny how our lives can intersect and influence each other in unexpected ways. Through my friendship with Amy or Ryan and others in this community, my heart broke for those who wanted nothing to do with God because they had been kicked out of their churches and families. And it especially broke my heart to see the lack of love in churches for those who are clearly precious to Jesus. As I felt called to be present with those in this community, something funny happened. My Christian friends dropped me. They didn't want anything to do with me because of who I was associating with. That was so painful. In a time when I was entering into the deep pain of others, I would have loved to have prayed with others and to have had the support of Christ followers. But instead, I was dropped. The more I dived into the life stories of these young women, the more I was overwhelmed by gang rape stories, stories of genocide, you name it. We're talking serious, serious trauma, and even incest. This was one of the hardest years of my life, to carry these burdens alone, all the while praying to God and asking Him where He is in this messed up world. By the time my second year at this university was over, I felt abandoned by God, wondering where His love was. I wasn't sure I could be a Christian anymore and was starving for healing. About a month before I moved to Winnipeg in 2009, I went to a Lutheran retreat center high in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State called Polden Village. While I was there, I was shocked to see people living their faith in Jesus. One night, I went to a Vespers prayer service. There, in the middle of the room, was a platform full of candles next to bowls of sand. And next to it obviously matches, but people would go up to the platform and light a candle and just start praying their hearts out. And I would see children praying alongside old people and people from every race and background and gay pastors. It was just incredible to see all kinds of people holding things up to God. After the service ended, when everyone else had left, I went to the platform and grabbed a candle, lit it, and began to cry, silently praying, God, where are you in this broken world? Where are you in the lives of my friends? Where is your love? Are you really a loving God? I question that. Talk to me. Let me know you exist. And that's when it happened. I felt a hand on my back. And then another. Until my entire back was covered. And this invasive thought broke through my prayer. And I heard this voice that said, Elisa, these hands are my love. You will find my love through community. Community. Over the next 3 years of my life in Winnipeg, slowly, I've began to discover Christ and His love through community and through the love of strangers. It took me time to trust Christians again. One of the quickest ways I found Christ was in our homeless brothers and sisters in the city. For example, Earl. He's a homeless friend who would walk me home from the soup kitchen after volunteering each week. I found Christ in him through his stories of resilience and survival on the cold and dangerous streets of Winnipeg. Earl has been around the block. He's street smart and incredibly protective of me. For a young woman, far from home and family, I appreciate his protectiveness. It reminds me that God is with me and has my back and that I'm not alone. Another way Christ has surprised me is through prayer. Earl and I love to pray together. Whenever Earl prays, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and his prayers speak to a secret place in my heart. Others in this room have been powerfully blessed by his prayers and stories as well. It is as if Christ is speaking directly through him. For a year and a half, I lived in Houseland Ministries, a Christian intentional community in West Broadway that is devoted to offering hospitality to the stranger. While I was living there, I almost was kidnapped twice. And the experiences scared the hell out of me. Both times I didn't have a cell phone, but after the second kidnapped attempt, a housemate, Ray, bought me one and began teaching me self-defense. That has also been a tangible experience, an extension of God's love. I feel safer now. Mother Teresa would look for Jesus in the eyes of the dying and destitute in Calcutta. But where can we find Christ in Winnipeg? Christ is everywhere in this city. Where have you met him? Where is Christ in our daily lives? No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells and lives deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. How often did Jesus shock people by loving them? Tax collectors, prostitutes, all kinds of people. What stories of Jesus' love come to mind? I can think of Jesus saving the woman from adultery. All the men had stones in hand to kill her, but Jesus drew a line in the sand and said, "He who is without sin, throw the first stone." Her life was spared. That same love is available to all of us. Jesus wants to unleash his kingdom, his dance, his party in this world through us. Who are the people we go out of our way to avoid? Who would we be embarrassed to be seen talking to in front of our friends? Christ beckons us to embrace the invitation to find beauty in them. How is the unseen God made known? God lives in those who love each other, and this is how love reaches perfection. By perfection, we mean that it reaches its intended completion in those who love each other. Divine love is not finished without our love. Christian love is the ongoing revelation of God in us. Who do we avoid at work but could talk to? Who do we avoid at church and shy away from? Who on the street today or tomorrow could we give a friendly smile or hello to and even start a conversation with? What are the ways we can make God's love known in the world? Does this look like striking up a friendly conversation with a homeless brother on your way to a Jets game? Or on the street? Why not look for Christ in the stranger? Let's pray that Christ opens the eyes of our hearts to see the world as he sees it. Squeegee people are hated in this city. How can we love them? How can we experience more of God's love at the table here? Christ desires to release his goodness in the world through us. No one has seen God ever. But when we love one another, God lives in us. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to know your love. We desire to live rich, meaningful lives that are shaped by your joy, power, and goodness. Give us your eyes and heart to discover beauty in the stranger. Cast out all fear and discouragement so that we can be your hands and feet. Amen.